So it doesn't just heal us. It offers us the opportunity to heal these relationships even beyond what we understand.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting, ecstatic episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. So I am a teacher by trade, just in the soul of my being. I am also a healer, and I am an activator of Kundalini Shakti. I also call myself the Ecstatic Life Mentor because I truly believe that we are here to live ecstatically. And while many people may not be experiencing that, I believe very much, and it's been my experience, that that is the full potentiality of humanity. And I also believe that that's where we're headed. We're headed into ecstatic living. So today is a solo episode, and I love these because I feel like this is where I get to spend time with you, the listener, the audience, and bring you some of my direct insights and experiences and teachings. So I hope that you enjoy this. And as with many of these episodes, we're going to kind of do this in three ways. Okay, we're going to start with the teaching, which can be, as always, very much out of the box. But in addition to being out of the box, I like to really press against your understanding and, even better, your belief structures, offering and inviting you to expand your mental availability and open your mind to, again, more possibility, more potentiality as a human and as a divine being. And the second aspect is we're going to be breathing into the body as well and incorporating embodiment throughout this solo episode. The embodiment is important because we can get up into our mental plane, we can get up into our heads, and we don't really allow ourselves to fully receive the information and process the information completely. Also, sometimes being in the mental plane, we can be a little bit more analytical. Whereas when we're in the body, we're in the feminine and we're in a receptive space. Okay? The last aspect of it is that I'm going to give you some practical ways in which you can start to explore this topic for yourself. So today we're here to talk about parallel lives, also known as past lives, other experiences, other realities. I like to call them parallel lives because they're all happening simultaneously. However, the more understood terminology is past life. And seeing them as either one of these labels has different awarenesses to them and different insights that I will go into. But what we're referring to is that you are a being that is beyond just simply this incarnation. You have lived so many, many lives as various different expressions of the light of God, of the unique fractal of that life that allows the light of God to shine through you. Just go ahead and take a nice deep breath into your belly with that. Just breathing into the awareness that you, my love, are so much. You have experienced a tremendous amount through all of these lives. And thus, you hold great wisdom. You hold many skills and talents and gifts. It isn't always super important to understand the process of incarnation. It can be complex to understand how the soul and the oversoul and the different aspects of self interact, overlap with each other. As I always like to say, it's very much like the Russian stacking dolls, right? Where one is inside of another is inside of another. And there are some aspects that overlap as well. We're not going to go so much into that today. That could be a whole nother conversation. In order to get into the complexity of it and simultaneously bring it through with simplicity. Because the universe is simultaneously complex, intricate, detailed, and simple. So when we play with those two terms, it's quite beautiful because they seem paradoxical, complex and simple. However, where paradox meets God is revealed. So it's always the most profound way to play with your awareness is through paradoxes. So back to the conversation of parallel lives, past lives. So let's just stop for a moment and focus on these two labels. Again, most of the time, they are referred to as past lives. I prefer to call them parallel lives. Now, I've been told this is just simply semantics, but I disagree. And let me explain why. If you view these lives as past, meaning that they are in the past, you have moved through them, there is the advantage, the benefit that you can have closure on that, right? You have already moved through it, much like the past memories of this life. You can create closure and move forward. The negative of seeing it, and not negative as in bad, but some of the, I would say more of like how it creates a little bit of limitation is a better way to word it than negative. The limitation that I experience from people seeing it as past life is that it's already over and somehow may or may not interfere, reflect, be entangled with this life. So now if we think about it as parallel realities, so this is all of those lives that seemingly happened in the past are actually happening simultaneously to now. So this is the understanding that all is right here, right now. Every single moment that has ever been created exists here in the now. That there truly is no time. Time is meant as the experience. What time does is time is memory. And when we experience time, we create memory, and that's how we learn. That's how we understand that we move from point A to point B and what happened in between there and what did we learn from that journey. And so that's what time gives us. It gives us the journey and the experience, which is how we learn. However, when we see these lives as parallel, for one, we are understanding the simultaneity of all that is. And for one, that grants us the understanding that in this moment right here, all of those lives exist. And so you can access all of that information and really literally any information that has ever been created because no information ever goes away. And as well as it really opens the mind that you can access these lives and that these lives are absolutely interacting with this life and affecting this life. Not necessarily all your lives are directly affecting this life. There are lives that are quantumly entangled with this life in the context of there is something that you have not resolved through that life that is also in this life. And so therefore, like tuning forks, they are vibrating within the same resonance and attunement with each other. So it really shows us and allows us to see how they're absolutely feeding each other information and affecting each other. I would say the limitation to seeing it as a parallel reality is that some people might not feel like you could ever have closure, that it is in the past, so to speak. From my experience, when you go through the actual healing modality of this process, you absolutely gain closure. And I can also understand that there are multiple ways that we can see and perceive anything, and that there really is no right or wrong. So in the past, where I have kind of poo-pooed the term past life, I now receive both of them as equivalently beneficial and potentially equivalently limiting, right? And so where these two paradoxes meet, God is revealed, right? It's never ending, the beauty of that statement and the different ways that we can experience it. You can call it whatever you want. Call it a parallel life, call it a past life. Whatever resonates with you is what matters, as always. So let's take another nice deep breath into the body. Just remembering that you don't have to understand everything that I'm saying. You can receive the information through the breath, through your conscious awareness into your being. Just receive it. Receive it all the way into your body and let your own intelligence process it for you. There are so many benefits to using parallel / past lives as a healing modality. One of the benefits is that it takes us deeper into a given belief structure. So, for instance, and I'll use a couple of my stories to assist in the understanding here. One of my shadows in my gene key, so meaning one of the real lessons that I am learning in this life, is the belief of inadequacy, moving through to the gift of resource, moving through to the Siddhic state of wisdom. So transforming inadequacy into wisdom. And I've absolutely experienced the feeling of inadequacy throughout my life. And as I've become aware of that terminology and the specific resonance of that vibration, of that belief structure, I've found it to be primarily in my womb, which didn't surprise me at all. I never wanted to be a mother for most of my life. I actually said I would never have kids. I had a lot of resistance to kids. I had a lot of resistance to my own mother. I had a lot of resistance to women, like all of the different ways that you could come about how the womb comes into play. I was part of that. Other than I didn't have reproductive issues, I actually bared children, both got pregnant and went through my pregnancies very easily. But I did have a lot of sexual trauma. So the inadequacy of the womb. So one of the lives that was most profound in taking me deeper into that, right? Because again, showing up what I just expressed to you, was the ways that that showed up in this incarnation, right? Like saying that I'd never want to be a mother, although I did end up becoming a mother and kind of struggled with it in those first several years. You know, the resistance to my own mother, all those things that I mentioned were how that inadequacy showed up in this life. The other ways that that inadequacy showed up in this life is per my creative side, my creative spirit. When I was a child, I was highly creative. And I would write like nonstop. These nonfiction like stories would just come out of nowhere and I would write them. And they were really good. And I just loved drawing and coloring. I wasn't really great at drawing and coloring, but I really enjoyed it. And I shut all that down. And I've been spending years coming back into healing with it and facing just deep beliefs of inadequacy. Even in my writing, believing that I was a bad writer, even though I had these very clear memories of writing really beautifully. So even though it really made no logical sense, that's how I felt. So everything I attempted to create was through the filter of inadequacy. And it never felt like enough, right? No matter what I'd create, it'd be like, okay, great, that's done. On to the next thing, because it's just not enough. Like that wasn't enough. It wasn't adequate. It wasn't whatever I was trying to create, right? So it was just this constant chasing through my creations. Let's just take a breath there, because maybe you're feeling that too. Just take a nice deep breath all the way down into your womb. Because there's so much inadequacy held in our wombs. This is not just me. So many women carry this energy. It's deeply rooted in the feminine. And it's one of the many beautiful things that I'm here to bring towards women. Is through my process of healing it, I can help others do the same. So again, that's how it's shown up in this life. And I have spent years working through the ways in which it has shown up in this life. And then I was given the opportunity to go into a parallel reality, past life, in which I could heal it deeper. And so I went into meditation and immediately saw myself as a tribal woman. She seems Native American. And immediately as I connected to the imagery, I saw her run into from the village, which was like teepees and little structures, towards the forest. The village was right up against. And she just ran into the forest and she started crying. And there was blood coming out of her vulva. And she was just so devastated. She was having a miscarriage. And I was having a miscarriage. And I was immediately connecting to all of the emotions of this. And I connected to the truth that this wasn't my first one. I had had several. And was coming to the truth that I couldn't bear children. And I was so upset. I felt so ashamed. I felt so ashamed of not being able to bear a child. And I won't bring in all the details. I'll try to slim it down just to the specifics. So right away, there was the energy of inadequacy, right? And I also connected to my father in that life was the chief. And that soul is my mother in this life. And I've always felt this disapproval from my mother in this life, but I never understood it because in all honesty, she's always deeply supported me. And I connected to it in that life. In that life, she was my father. And she was the chief, and I was not bearing children. I was not passing down the lineage, and I was the only daughter to bear the children through the womb, which for some reason felt different than, I don't even know if I had any brothers, but there was this pressure for me to carry the lineage, and I couldn't do it. And I just felt this immense disappointment from him. Simultaneously, there were the wise women of the tribe, the older women who had gone through menopause, which this is a whole nother conversation, but menopause is actually a massive rite of passage for women where we regain so much of our power and really connect innately to our deep wisdom. And the tribal women knew this. They didn't see menopause like we do now as some negative. They saw it as this powerful experience. And so these wise women, oh, they just had this energy of this ma, this wisdom and this presence and this love and this tenderness and this nourishment, like a grandma, right? That knows exactly what to say, knows exactly what to do. And I looked at them in this life and I just yearned for that. I yearned for that. And I felt, I believed that I wouldn't be that because I never bared children. And in the life, I pulled away from the children in the village because they triggered me. And then because oftentimes in these lives, as you experience them and you go through these healing modalities, you will fast forward. So I fast forwarded in quote unquote time, and I was in perimenopause, which is where I am right now in my life. And it was like the opportunity to bear children was slipping out of my fingers. And I was really, really distraught. And I was full of grief because I hadn't processed the miscarriages. Most of them I had hidden from the tribe. And, you know, tribal people are very good at processing death because they understand the evolution of our soul and that it's not, we don't just die and that's it. We carry forward and they allow themselves to process it fully. But I didn't tell them that I was losing these babies. And so they weren't processing it with me because they do it as a tribe. They do it as a community. You know, it's a loss for the community. So I didn't have that support and I hadn't let myself process it. So I held this just deep grief in my body. And then I watched as I, all of a sudden, again, kind of in that era of perimenopause, I was kind of walking one day and this figure came through a portal and he was like an avatar being. He was a chief and he was full. He was just light. He was just pure luminescence. And I just started crying. I mean, the whole time that I'm experiencing this life is me, Alara, I'm crying. I'm wailing. I was processing the grief. I was literally wailing as I'm doing this. So it's a very emotional process in a really positive way because you're processing the emotions and the resonance that you're still hanging on to in this life out of your body, which is why it's so profound. So I wailed. I cried. I released the grief because I know how to release that. And I'm granting myself that permission, which I wasn't in that life. And so I saw this chief and I said, I'll never be that. I'll never be that. I'll never be a ma. I'll never be the woman that I want to be. And first he just blasted me with all this light, which was really intense for the me, Alara, in this life, but I breathed into my body and allowed it to release more energy. And he said, you weren't meant to. And he said, you were meant to help women, other women who can't bear children. You were meant to help in other ways. And wow, it really hit the me in that life, and it hit the me in this life. And it opened up several doors for me here in this life. And I was able in that life to forgive my father for his disappointment in me. And again, when the life fast forwarded, I saw him in bed, very ill, getting ready to pass. And it was just me and him in the room. And our wombs are incredibly magical. They are the portal through which we are brought into this physicality, as well as the portal through which we leave. It is called the point of creation, the creation point. And it's a portal. It's the light at the end of the tunnel that people see as they move out of this life. And it's the same light that we see when we come in. And it's very, very profound. And as bearers of wombs, whether you identify as a woman or not, we have this tremendous capacity to hold that portal, that stargate. We can move in and out of these spaces so easily as women. We are able to move multidimensionally and able to move in and out of physical creation and non-physical creation. And we're just these magicians of birth and death. And so I watched myself lay there, sit there with my father, and as he was getting ready to pass, I just sank into my womb and I just opened up the portal and I just held this for him. And I'm getting chills right now as I'm telling this to you. My whole body is lit up right now. And I could see the light coming in for him, and I saw him leave his body, and I assisted him. And it's such an honor to do that. In this life, I've only been granted that honor once so far. And it was with my dog, Kona, who, you know, when you have those like really special beings in your life, she was one of those for me and for basically everybody who met her. And I got to assist her, and she actually came back as a spirit immediately and like brought in all this love and this gratitude and thanked me so deeply and actually showed me what happens next, which I won't go into right now, but it was so profound of an experience for me. And she granted me that. But to hold that space for somebody is so beautiful. And so that's what I did for my father. So I never carried forward our lineage in that life, but I helped him in another way. And it was the way that I could help. It was what I was meant to do. It was who I was. And we had peace at the end together. And I forgave him. And through that forgiveness, I opened up and released the energy of that disappointment that I felt with my physical mother in this life, because she wasn't disappointed in me. I perceived it as disappointment because of that life and the resonance, the vibrations that I still held in my body. It's incredible work. And it really takes these healings to a whole nother level. So let's take some nice deep breaths into the body here. I hope you can feel my emotion, because this work is deeply emotional. And, you know, emotion is this gateway. It's this gateway into who we truly are, Emotion will show us both our limiting beliefs and it'll show us our truth, our divinity. We have to be courageous with emotion. We have to allow ourselves to feel the entire spectrum, realizing that emotions are like the breeze. It just comes and it goes. We're not our emotion. Our emotion is simply telling a story about the beliefs that we are aligned with or currently experiencing. So these lives hold so much, and that's not the end of it. So there's so much healing that can happen, both to ourselves and interrelationship, interpersonally, with the relationships, the people in our lives, because, you know, particularly our parents, our children, and the partners that we come through in our lives, these are very karmic relationships. And we hold a lot of lives with these people. Anybody that you've ever felt just like, wow, I just feel like I know you. Yeah, it's because you've had other lives with them. And it doesn't mean that you have karma with them. But specifically with our parents, with our family, with our siblings, always there's karma there. That's why we incarnate into such an intimate experience with them. And then oftentimes with, you know, some of our partners as well, and our children also. So it doesn't just heal us. It offers us the opportunity to heal these relationships even beyond what we understand. Right. So taking that back to my mother, I never understood why I felt what I felt. I never understood why I felt closed off to her. And the lives that I've been shown with regards to our relationships has just opened all of the doors and allowed me to move through that in myself. So it's healing for us. It's healing for our relationships. And the other really beautiful thing about this work is it brings through your gifts. So if you know me, maybe you do and maybe you don't, I have a big shamanic drum, and it's 18 inches. And I've always had an affinity towards drums, and I actually attempted to learn like typical drums, you know, with the drumsticks, and that didn't resonate. I was like, I don't know what it is. Like, and then I was like, the Congo type drums, that didn't resonate either. And then I got brought into the shamanic drum, and I was like, wow, this resonates. But of course, I held all this inadequacy about playing it and using it, and because it was tied into this life. In that life, I had a drum, and I used my voice as I do now to create these very powerful healing spaces. So we bring through the gifts and the talents and the skills and the wisdom, the beautiful wisdom of everything we experience in that life. We bring it through and we integrate it, activate it, when we remember it. So I had this bear drum come into my space. I had always wanted a bear drum. I had had two drums, and neither one of them were that great. But it was my process. I was grateful for both of them. And I kind of had left drumming for a little bit. And I was in Sedona, and I connected with this man who makes drums just randomly. I wasn't looking for a drum. And then on Facebook, he posted he has his last bear drum, and he's never making a bear drum again. And it just hit me. The drum hit me. She came to me and she was like, get me. And I was like, you know, I just don't want to. I don't want to spend money on that. It was $999. It was not important to me at the time. You know, all the excuses, right? And she would not let up. She kept coming to me daily and saying, you need to buy me. And so finally I did. I was like, fine, I'll do it. And I did. And tried to play her, and just, wow, if she didn't trigger the inadequacy in me, I played her once and I put her down. I was so triggered by her presence and by her depth and what she represented. And it took me months. It took me like 6 months to really connect with her. and to surrender into her. And now that drum, oh, she takes me places. She activates energies within me. I bring her into my sessions and I bring her into the healings that I do, you know, online to groups. And sometimes people say, oh, I can't hear the drum or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't really matter because honestly, she's mainly for me. She does directly, as of course you would suspect, help them as well. But even if they can't hear her, what she does to me creates this just magical energy. Magical energy. That's what happens when we connect to these lives. And it's the same thing. There's a whole story to me using my voice to heal, which, wow, I'll have to talk about that one time because that's a really big story. And it took me many years and just so much moving through inadequacy to get to this point where I can just do it and just let it be what it is. And that also came from that life, but there were other lives I haven't yet fully connected to that were non-human incarnations where I was not a human being. I was some sort of cosmic being in which I used my voice, and that's really where I learned a lot of it from. And I imagine that when I connect to those lives, or that life perhaps, my I can feel it already. It's already, my throat is lighting up, my womb is lighting up, like the what'll happen to me when it's ready for me to face that life. It'll take me to a whole nother level, you know? And it's not up to me. I mean, that's the first time that I've connected to that, like energetically like that, where I felt it in my body. So that's always the first sign that it's getting ready to come into your space. But, you know, when you start to play with these and you start to really have this ability, which everybody can do, I want to make that really clear right now. You can do this. And I can help you if you want. So if this resonates with you and you want help, please reach out to me. Let's have some fun. Let's dive into this with you. I would love to assist you on this journey. I would love to hold the portal and allow you to pass through it and experience yourself. Because what this gifts us is our totality. We are so incredible. We are so much. And we bring all that through into this life. We enrich ourselves and we enrich humanity with the fullness of who we are. So the connection to certain tools is really powerful. The connection to certain wisdom. I have a client who we just took her through one, and she was connecting to herself as a healer, and she had all these tinctures. And so, you know, what'll happen in the future is she'll start to create tinctures again. And it doesn't matter whether she creates tinctures for others or if she just has some tinctures. It's really incredible how this work happens. So like the drum, yeah, sure, I use the drum for other people as well. But you can connect to tools that just having the tool and having it in your space and playing with it with and for yourself will remind your body and open up streams of consciousness into that wisdom of what you really are capable of with whatever that tool represents. So like with the client with the tinctures, even if she just makes some tinctures for herself and plays with them for herself, and that's all she ever does with it, it will expand her capacity as a healer no matter what. And if she ends up making them for other people, that too will be beautiful. It doesn't matter. It'll be its own thing. But the process of bringing those tools into this physical reality connects you really beautifully, quantumly entangles you, but in a different quantum entangle. So instead of being quantumly entangled with the limitations and the fears and the trauma, you're quantumly entangled with the gifts and the wisdom and the brilliance of who you are, my love, as divinity, as a soul, as a being of God. So the first thing, practical tools, here we are in part three, okay? The first thing is to be really clear on, have you ever had any affinity to anything? That just doesn't really make sense, right? So like I've had an affinity to drums. It took me a little while to bring it down into the shamanic drum, but I've always loved the sound of particularly low sounding drum, just like the drum I have right now, like that low, bull, bull, bull sound, right? An affinity. The other thing I've had an affinity to since I was a child is Black Panthers. And in that life as a tribal woman, that was my power animal. I never understood that. Anything that you've had an affinity to that doesn't really necessarily make sense, that is a key into a life for you, okay? Simultaneously with fears. So like my youngest son, I just connected to a life with him where literally he was my daughter and he got taken at night from the house. And it's been really interesting because several times in this life as my son, he said to me, Mom, I feel fear like I'm going to be taken, like somebody's going to come in the house and take me. So any fears that make no sense, you know, people who have fears of like flying and there's never been a reason, or fears of drowning, right? Again, a key into a life that is relevant for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be connected to that, okay? Another thing is if you've ever had an image of something. So I've had the same client, she had an image of a log cabin. And kind of the image kept coming through and there was never any context to it. And it was one of these lives, right? Anything like that. I've had an affinity to like Hinduism and that kind of era and that kind of tradition. And of course, I've had a lot of lives in that as well. So anything like that, I would just invite you to start a page of them. And you don't have to remember them all at once, right? Just be curious and playful. Like, oh, I know I've had some of them. Sometimes we can't remember them in the moment, right? Like all of a sudden we go blank. Like, oh, I have some. What are they? I can't remember any of them. So just stay open, right? Don't try to get attached to this process. But like just open up a journal or just, you know, and then right at the top, like the keys to my however you want to call it, parallel lives, other lives, past lives, right? Right. Like write that as the title. And then like let them come through again over however much time that is for you. They could drop in right away. It might take a couple of weeks, months, whatever. And write them down. And just get curious about them. Like you don't need to necessarily know right away, but write them down. What are some things that you've just really adored, right? You've just adored. And like kind of like personality things that you have always just had about yourself that doesn't necessarily have any rhyme or reason to, right? And so write those down. And that's a really great way to start to connect vibrationally with these. And if depending on your level of ability, of capacity, you can absolutely do this by yourself, you know, just set the intention to go into one of those lives through meditation and you will. The dream state is also a really great one, particularly if you are somebody who has a strong connection to your dream state. But even if you're not, you can still set the intention to connect to one of those lives in your dream state and or, you know, receive some of this information of these affinities and or fears through your dreams, because your dreams often show those things. And then you can wake up and write them down, right? The one thing I will say is the difference between just imagination and really connecting to one of these lives is the emotional trigger. Okay. So if you have a dream and you're like, wow, that was intense, I think that was a parallel life, but there's no real emotional attachment to it, then it was probably just a dream experience. And you know, that can be a little unclear as well, because dreams can trigger emotion. Okay. So just knowing that the dream state is a little bit more gray and shady, I wouldn't take it necessarily straight as. Okay, I would take it as potentially it pointing to some of the core beliefs that are in resonance to these lives, and then become curious more in a meditative state about the actual lives. Okay. Because then if you do go in the meditative state and you start to explore this, like I said, the imagination will go wild sometimes and take us on all these journeys. And you need to be able to really first feel the emotion and feel the imagery, like smell, feel, hear, touch. All of your senses should be able to be activated as you're in them, because that means that you're really, it's a memory in your body. So that's just some little tips and tools, and become curious about it. You know, become curious about all the different lives that you have lived, and even just that thought, right? And who were you in these lives, and what did you do, and what did you learn, and what were your challenges, and what were your, you know, your victories, your conquers, your successes, right? It's such a delicious rabbit hole to go down. So I hope so much that you've enjoyed this conversation. And as I said, I am more than happy to assist you if this is something that lights you up. And particularly if you have a difficult challenge or difficult aspect of your reality right now in this life, we can absolutely explore this for you of, okay, what are the lives that are entangled with this? Like if it's about money, right? If it's about being a mother or children, it's about relationship, right? If it's about unworthiness, inadequacy, right? Any of that stuff, anything really. So if there's something that kind of you just can't seem to get through, reach out, because I can help you. And as always, you know, truly, I am deeply grateful for you. I'm deeply grateful for your presence and for you as a divine being, for you as a fractal of God, as a fractal of God, as a fractal of love. Without you, this world would not be complete. Without you, creation itself would not be complete. I'm so deeply grateful and honored that you are here with me. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.